That's a wonderful, wonderful song, isn't it? Living by Faith. And you know, we're really seeing we're seeing biblical truth about living by faith as we talk about Abraham, or Abram, as we're introduced to him right here where we're at right now. We've yet to see him, God change his name, but we know that that's coming. God's going to move him from being a blessed father to the father of a multitude, right? We know that's coming. And so in Genesis chapter 15, where we're going today, and yes, we are moving forward a couple of chapters. Not that those chapters are not important, but we're keeping the context of hitting the main stories to tell his story, okay? Now, we're hitting the main accounts to tell the story that God has placed in his word for us to understand his revelation of himself, of Jesus Christ, of his redemptive plan, however you want to put it. All these things, that's what we have the word of God for, is so that we can understand God and his work to us, how he's working in our lives, how he's worked through history, and how he's redeeming the world, or how he has redeemed the world to himself. And so I'm glad that we're moving on to chapter number 15. I think there's going to be some real wonderful truths here for us to see. But I want you to think, we're going to go through this kind of verse by verse here in a moment. But I want you to imagine being promised something life-changing. And then years later, you're still sitting there waiting. Some people have this, let me say the luxury of having an inheritance. And they sit around for a long time waiting on that, don't they? And they sometimes start wondering, am I ever going to get anything or something like that? But you know, here we see Abram. He's been promised something, and then years later, he's still waiting on that promise. And when we picked up on Abram and he got that promise, he was already 75 years old, right? And right here in chapter 15, there's still no progress, still no visible movement, still. Everything is still the same. He's still in the same reality he was. At some point, you know, when you're in that place, the question starts to arise, can I really trust what I've been told? Can I really trust the promise that I've been given? That's exactly where Abram finds himself here in chapter 15. And what God teaches him in this moment doesn't just shape his life, but it becomes the foundation of the gospel itself. This is a foundational portion of the gospel message, because in this chapter we learn a truth that carries all the way through the Bible, especially in the New Testament. Righteousness is not something that we earn. It's not something that we do. Righteousness is something that is credited, or as we see in the New Testament, imputed onto us, meaning it's placed on our account. And we talked about that, I think it was 2 weeks ago, or maybe last week, when I had Cash come up and I wrapped him in that jacket, remember? That is the imputed righteousness of Christ. And so, I want us to look at this moment in Abram's life and watch how it unfolds, how God secured his promise, and how Abram was declared righteous, not because of how great of a man Abram was, not because of what Abram did, but by faith, because he believed God. And so let's pick up right here in verse number 1. Genesis 15, verse number 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Now here in verse number 1, God comes to Abram in a vision and he gives him a promise. He gives him a promise of safety. I want you to look at it again. He said, "I am thy shield," right? Well, first he says, "Fear not." He gives him that promise of safety. We know that Abram was kind of let me give it to you in Southern slang. He was kind of scary. Not that he was scary to other people. When we say that in the South, when you say somebody's kind of scary, you mean they're kind of they get scared easily. And so he was kind of a scary person. You know, he got scared a little easy. He got worried. What happened when the famine hit Canaan? What did he do? He took off took off to Egypt. What happened when he got to Egypt? I got a pretty woman. I better say she's my sister because I don't want anything to happen, right? He wasn't a brave man. He was a man of faith and sometimes weak faith. But we're not throwing stones, right? Because we're all, even if you're a man of faith, woman of faith, sometimes it gets a little weak, right? And so, but here in verse 1, God gives him a promise of safety. Fear not, Abram. Fear not. And then he gives him a promise of protection. He said, I am thy shield. That is a promise of protection. He said, listen, don't you worry about anything else. Don't worry about how good you can be, what you can do. I am going to be your protector. And then he gives him a promise of reward. He said, and thy great, exceeding great reward. What did he say his exceeding great reward was going to be? God said, I am your great reward. I am your exceeding reward. So God is the reward. So many times we're sitting there looking, we're like, oh, look at this. God gave me. That's not our reward. He is. All this is temporary. It's going away. If you gave me a reward for something, I want to make sure it's good and solid. I don't want to take a reward home and then next thing you know, I lay it on the kitchen table, it varnishes and it's worth nothing 2 days later. Right? I want a good reward. And that's what God said, I am your reward. And thankful for that. Now, in verses 14, verses 21 through 23, we can see why God needed to kind of embrace Abram at this time. Let's look at, I know we didn't go through chapter 14. Let's go back and look at it. It says, and the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me thy persons. Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. See, God took Abram and he said, look, you didn't take of the carnal things, you didn't take of the world's things, and you trusted me, I'm going to bless you immensely. And we see all these promises that he gives him right there in verse number 1. In verse number 1, he blesses Abram because Abram didn't, in chapter 14, Abram didn't say, you know what, look what I can do, look what I did, and look what I gained. And he didn't give the king of Sodom any leverage to say, I did that for Abram. It was always God. It was always going to be God. But then we move on to verses 2 and 3. And here we see Abram begins to question. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer, of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Basically, Abram is saying, I don't have a child. And if I died today, then everything requires that this hired servant's son is going to get everything. Because I don't have a child. And so you say I'm going to have a child. Where I go childless, where is it at? I want you to understand, though, this question is not displaying Abram's rebellion. This is not Abram doubting God in any way. It's just him honestly talking with the Lord. Now, I believe it was last week I said, you know, sometimes instead of my children just saying, man, you know, Dad said we'd have food today. Well, we don't have food. He said we'd go to lunch. And we still hadn't went to lunch. I would rather my children be like, hey, are we going to eat today? I'd rather them talk to me, right? Instead of just bottling it up and just hoping, I'd rather them talk to me. And if I would rather my children talk to me about what they need, what they want, and their desires, do you think God feels that way about us? He would rather us come to Him with our desires and our questions and things instead of sitting around fretting, figuring out, how am I going to fix this? How am I going to work this out? Listen, faith doesn't mean you're always silent, but it is taking your questions to God and trusting Him for the answers, trusting Him for the outcome. Now, in verses 4 through 5, we see God reaffirm the promise. Look at verses 4 through 5. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. So this hired servant's son is not the heir of all that you have. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. You're going to have a natural son. Natural son is going to be born to you, is what he's saying. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now, here we see the specifics of the promise. God is going to give Abram a biological heir. He's going to give him a son of his own. Not just a son, though. And you think about this, from this son, God says the future lineage is going to be like the stars. His future lineage is going to be innumerable, immeasurable. You won't even be able to count them. There's going to be so many. What an amazing promise that is. And listen, we see throughout this chapter, throughout Abram's life, he doesn't look to God and is like, how? Well, sometimes he does. Sometimes he says, when? But he doesn't say, it ain't happened yet, bye. I don't see it yet, bye. It's not what he does. He continues to believe God. And then we see the gospel through the life of Abram right here in verse number 6. What does it say? And he what? Believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Can I tell you what? That's the gospel message right there. When you hear in the New Testament, you think about the gospel preached to Abraham, you think about the gospel in the life of Abraham and all that, this is it. He believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. Galatians 3:8 said, and the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Listen, and when God said that to him, what did he do? He believed, right? He believed what God said, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So let's break this down, how Abram was counted righteous through faith. First of all, he believed God. Simple, right? This simply means that he trusted God's word. And through his faith, through his trust, through his belief, God counted him righteous. He imputed righteousness on Abram, meaning that righteousness was credited to him. Abram didn't do anything to earn it. Abram did not work for it. Abram didn't go out and say, okay, God, what must I do to be righteous? And I will check every box. That ain't it. Can I tell you what else? That ain't the gospel. Abram didn't say, okay, Lord, how many times do I need to take communion this month? That ain't the gospel. All right, Lord, where do I get baptized? That ain't the gospel. Okay, Lord, how many people do I need to witness to this year? That ain't the gospel. The gospel was believe on Him. That's it. Today, the gospel is believe on Jesus Christ. And that's it. There's nothing else. There's no additions. There's no nothing else to it. It's that simple. We hate simple, don't we? No, let's be honest. We like simple work because these precious things right here, the simpler we can make it, the more precious they can be. But we don't like simple when it comes to our things. We like to make it look like we're something, don't we? And even when we got simple work, we like to stretch it a little bit like, I really did something. Don't we? Come on, men. Y'all know it's true. We can have the easiest day at work, and what do we do when we get home? Oh, baby, it was the hardest day. I just need to sit down for about 15, 20 minutes and just unload for a minute. Next thing you know, it's 2 hours later. She's cleaned the house. She's already been taking care of kids all day, cleaning the house, all this stuff. And you're still sitting there. And you still ain't doing nothing. And then she looks around and said, man, it must have been hard today. In the back of your mind, you're like, oh, not really. But, oh, it was so rough. The boss was this and he was that. And everything was so hard today. That's the way we act, right? We act like this so much. We like to exaggerate because we like to think we did something. Abram did nothing for his righteousness. And guess what? If you are born again here today, Alyssa, on Wednesday, when you got saved, you know what you did? Nothing. You believed. Jesus had already done all the work for you. He took your punishment that you deserved for you. What you deserve, what we all deserve, Jesus took it for us. We don't do anything for it. All this stuff we do, we don't do to gain anything. We do it because of what we have. Hey, here's the thing. For years, we lived in a camper. We had a camper. We lived in it. Some of that was through my, you know, working oil and gas and all that, traveling around. We didn't have much upkeep in that. It was so simple. 10 minutes, we'd clean the whole thing. April's like, maybe an hour. We do miss that. But you know, here's a good thing. We had no yard. We pull into a campsite. We had no yard. Only upkeep we had was draining that sewer once a week, washing that out once a week. That was about it. That was the only maintenance to it. Go out there and wipe down the outdoor kitchen every once in a while. That's about it. Now, living in a house, there's a lot more upkeep. Sometimes we've got to set days aside to clean the garage. Sometimes we've got to set days aside to clean the backyard. And now, which I don't have to do much of it because thankfully good friends have stepped up, but we're responsible for the yard. Never had a yard to cut before. We have never had a lawn to cut before. This is all, but I wouldn't have anything to do with it if I didn't have it, right? I wouldn't put the work in to keep the house nice if we didn't have the house to live in. I'm not coming to your house and cleaning your house up. That ain't mine. I have no reward there. Guess what? I am so far off this message. I hope y'all understand. We might have to do this again next week. But this is real stuff. Y'all understand? We have been made the temple of the Holy Ghost. Think about this for just a minute. You didn't build the temple. You didn't furnish the temple. He did. Why are we doing the things that we do? Why do we go on outreach? Why do we give? Why do we come to church? Why do we worship? Why do we sing the songs? Why do we live a holy life? Why do we live the Christian life? Because He has made us a temple, a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. That's why. We don't do this stuff. None of this is done so that we can be saved. We're not walking this road hoping to get to glory, hoping that we don't turn off the wrong way ever so often. We are walking this road because we're headed home. We got a home already. Hey, if my car didn't work, you know how I'd get to 1534 West, 330 North? I'd walk. And I'd walk it the easiest way I could. And I'd get there as quick as I could because that's my home. But that's not my eternal home. My eternal home's up there. And why do I want to make it harder to get there? Why do I want to make it hard now? Why do I want to make it so difficult now that I don't enjoy it? God has given us His Spirit. He has put His Spirit in us. And now we get to walk. We get to walk with Him. Come here, Cash. It's one thing to walk by yourself. It's one thing to walk by yourself. And you're wishy-washy. But you know, when you got somebody to walk with you, and you're walking side by side, and troubles come up, and things come up, you know, when the devil comes up, you know what the Holy Spirit can do? You're the devil today. The Holy Spirit can push him out of the way. He can get rid of him. He can help you defeat that battle, that devil that's coming up on you. He can help you fight the temptations, and you can walk straight because it's two, not just one. What an amazing thing it is. Listen, I know I got off. I'm sorry. I don't even know where I was at on my outline today. But I do want you to know that the meaning of this passage is that Abram did nothing to be counted righteous, but believe what he heard. And from who he heard it from, he believed God. And so it's simply, what is righteousness? Righteousness is simply a right standing. It means that Abram was counted right before God. Leads us into another one. Before we come to Christ, Nothing we can do makes us right with God. Hey, you know, when you're at work and your boss is coming at you, you need to do this, you need to do it, you know what you can do? You can correct it. And you can be right with him for a moment. But then another moment comes up and you're not right with him. Correct? That's the way it goes. When we are made right with God, we are kept right with God. Because it wasn't up. We didn't have to fix anything to get right with God. We just believe. And the moment we become right with God, righteousness is imputed on us. This is not a license to go out and to live however you want. But you know, even when you're not right, you're still right. Even when you're wrong, you're still right with God. That is the imputed righteousness of Christ. That is what God is teaching us here. That Abram, even when he went down to Egypt, he was still right with God. Even when he lied to Pharaoh and said, "That's my sister," he was still right with God. Even when the pagan Pharaoh got on to him, reprimanded him, he sent him out full. Why? Because he was still right with God. He never lost his standing with God. And so I want you to notice, Abraham is declared righteous long before the law, long before works are implemented, long before any rituals given in the Bible. Look at Romans 4:3. It's in your notes there. "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Galatians 3:6. "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." That is where it came from. It didn't come from Abraham. It came from God. Listen, I know we're really not going to finish this today, I don't think. Verses 7 and 8, I want you to see that Abram continues to seek assurance. Verse 7, it says, "He said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?" Now, again, this is not exposing Abram for his doubt and unbelief and things like that. Abram is asking for confirmation. He's saying, "Lord, show me how I will know that this promise is going to last, that this promise is coming." And God says, "Look, I brought you out and I gave you this promise." Look what he said right there. He said, "I am the Lord that brought thee out to give thee this land to inherit it." And then Abram said, "How will I know?" Now, I think right now would be a good time. I know we're early, but it's going to take me a while to get through this covenant part. I think we could probably go ahead and wind this down and catch this up next week. That's what I love about verse-by-verse preaching, for one. But I want you to think about this. I want you to consider Abram here. We've already come through the life of Abram, right? Abram started out in an idolatrous family over here. And he comes through. God calls him out and says, "I want you to go. I want you to go to a land I'm going to show you." After his father dies and all the idolatry is gone, Abram leaves out and Abram follows God. He follows God to this place. And God says, "This is the land that you will inherit. I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to give you immeasurable seed. I'm going to give you a lineage. I'm going to give you a family that nobody can count." We know this is the nation of Israel, right? Listen, these truths that we read about with Abram, these are not truths that are only for Israel. When we look at righteousness through faith, that is not a message to Israel. That is a message to man. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, that is our message. You want to come, you want to know God, you want to come to God, you want to be made righteous, you want to be born again, it's only by faith. You can do everything that religion tells you to do. You can check every box that religion puts out there. You can climb every religious ladder you want. Hey, you could be Pope, but without faith, without an understanding of who God is, faith in Jesus Christ, faith in God, without that, there is no salvation. There is no made righteous. There is no being born again. It is only by faith. Listen, I know it we kind of took a little detour this morning, but I want to say this. You play an invitation, Carter? Play I Surrender All one more time. And I want us to think about this. Maybe this is weeks of study of Abram kind of catching up. We look at the life of Abram. Abram surrendered all. He surrendered everything. He took off with his wife and his nephew. That's it. He left everything he ever knew and believed God and went where God led him. I want to ask you today, are we believing God, first of all? I know I gave the invitation last week. About believing God, about trusting Him. Listen, I think maybe this week be the same invitation. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. I want to ask this maybe in a different way. I asked Him to play I Surrender All. I want us to think about this. What are we surrendering for Him? I know I just sat and talked about being born again, salvation, all that. It's by faith. And some people will argue with us and they'll fight with us and they'll complain. And they'll say, well, what about what James says in chapter number 2, in James 2? James says that without work, that faith is dead. Well, how do we know that Abram believed God? He went, right? How do we know that Abram believed what God said? He didn't go back. He didn't turn around. He didn't go back to the Chaldees. He didn't go back to his family. He didn't do all that. He believed God and he went. Listen, today we come to Christ through faith and repentance. Faith and repentance. Repentance is not saying, I will never sin again. That's kind of a hard thing to promise, ain't it? Repentance is more of a, I'm walking to the east. God says, go west. And I say, why? And He says, because that's where I'm at. And I turn around and I go west and I don't go back east. That's a simple way to put repentance. It's a change of mind. Okay, east is not the way, west is. And a change of direction. Okay, I'm going to go west so I can get to God. Now, how do we put that in terms of giving our life to Christ? Everybody in here has some kind of view on eternity. You may be here this morning and you may say, hey, I just believe when we shut our eyes, we're done. The Word of God says that every person, every man's soul will live in eternity somewhere forever. For eternity. But here's the promise He gives us, that through faith in Him, so you, whatever you're believing for eternity, you're walking toward now, right? Whether it's, well, I believe that I had to be baptized, I believe I have to give, or I have to do, or I have to, whatever. Maybe you're even trusting in a prayer. Hey, it's not about a prayer. Listen, whatever you have been or you were walking toward, to come to Christ, you have to repent or turn away from that to Christ alone. When we do that and we go to Him, listen, that's not a work. That is faith. If I had a quarter in my pocket, I could say faith and repentance are represented in one coin. It's the same coin. Faith and repentance are the same thing. I can't believe Christ alone for salvation without repenting. Amen? Coming to Christ for salvation is by faith alone. Maybe it's somebody here today, you've never trusted Christ alone for your salvation. Maybe you've walked down the religious line. Maybe you've walked the religious ladder, climbed the religious ladder, whatever it is. Maybe today would be the day you'd say, you know what? I'm just going to believe God. I'm going to believe God's Word. And maybe today could be the day that you are born again, that righteousness is placed on your account. Can I tell you where, if you're not in Christ today, your account has a debt on it right now. A debt that you can't pay. A debt that you can't pay one line of, much less the total cost. Maybe today you could turn that ticket over, hand it to Him, and let Him put that stamp paid in full on it. As we close today, heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want you to pray for just a moment.